Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad that you're able to join me today as we continue on with a message I've entitled The Law of the New Covenant. And yes, we are under law. James refers to it as the perfect law of liberty, that if we just don't read it, but we actually do what that law of liberty commands, we will be blessed in our deeds. And as Galatians reminds us, if we will walk in the very character of Jesus, if we will manifest the fruit of the Spirit, that there is no law. Against such, there is no law. What a beautiful place of liberty and joy and freedom and peace in Christ Jesus when we can learn not only intellectually and mentally to affirm those truths, but to actually have an experience of walking in the reality of what it's like in heaven. And that's that we can bring that to our own life's experience if we are willing to mortify the deeds of our flesh and submit ourselves fully to the Lord. Well, on yesterday's broadcast, I concluded by saying we are a prophetic people, which means simply that in this hour and in this day, the last closing hours, or minutes, I should say, of the midnight hour before Jesus' return, we are simply speaking forth God's will, His purposes. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into a knowledge of Him and receive everlasting life that is alone offered through Jesus Christ. And so we need to be greatly on guard in the areas that I've been sharing, and that is spiritual pride. When we begin to be used by God, sometimes because if we're not careful, remember that's the very thing that the enemy was guilty of, the sin of pride. He said, I will be like the Most High. He had the most exalted place in heaven. He drew 1/3 of the angelic host to his side because he was so persuasive. He was perfect in beauty, the scriptures say, until the day that iniquity was found in him. But we see throughout the scriptures examples given of spiritual pride, of presumption. Remember, and I'm not going to take the time to read, but Aaron's sons, they were killed before the Lord. They offered strange fire and were guilty of the sin of presumption, and God killed them. And God would not permit Aaron to even mourn because of what they had done. Then we see in Numbers, the 16th chapter, verse 1, Korah's rebellion. They rose up before Moses, and they said to his face, Moses, you presume too much. You presume too much authority. This entire congregation, every one of them, is holy and dedicated, for the Lord is present with them. And of course, we know what happened to Korah. Well, the earth opened and they were swallowed up, as an example of God's response to where they went. And then also we see when David was bringing the ark the first time into the tabernacle of David that he established just shortly after he was king. One of the first things he did, we see Uzzah, who was the son of Abinadab in Gibeah, and the oxen stumbled. The ark was on a cart. It shouldn't have been that way anyway. If they'd have read the law, they would have understood that the ark is only allowed to be carried on the shoulders of the priests with staves. And he touched the ark, and he died before the Lord. And David was afraid and very unhappy. And here we see an example to us that familiarity with the holy things without an understanding heart will bring presumption and ultimately death. Beloved, love is the foundational principle of the New Testament law of liberty. Oh, only the Holy Spirit can give you ears to hear what I'm saying. I trust God is doing that for you. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 40, Jesus said clearly, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. The whole of the law and the prophets is summed up in two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, strength, and spirit, your neighbor as yourself. And what is the law? The prophets, the body of writings of the Old Testament. The prophets foreshadow a group of people, and I believe it's a foreshadowing of the bride of Christ, those who are totally committed believers. Actually, in every generation, those who have put God first. Now, beloved, I trust the Lord has helped me to be simple and as plain, as clear as I can, to warn us against judging one another. We need to focus that critical spirit, that judgment, upon ourselves and our own lives. Scripture tells us in the New Covenant, if we would judge ourselves, we won't be judged. Before we are quick to point a finger at others, now that does not mean we do not judge with righteous judgment, that we are not discerning, but we must allow God to take care of His house. He knows how to deal with people. There are times, even according to New Testament scriptures, where if someone is in error, we are to exhort that person and in love to bring them to a knowledge of the truth. And I'm going to share those scriptures with you in just a moment. But my purpose in this message is to warn you and to make you aware of the subtle strategies of Satan. That's where I began as I opened this message. We are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, and his purpose is to bring division, is to bring discord, is to bring disharmony in the body of Christ. Why? Because it is in that very unity that the move of God depends upon. In order to experience that anointing, we must be in unity. That is shown in the Old Testament. It is shown certainly in the pages of Acts as the New Testament believers, the early church, moved out in power and authority with signs falling. Why? Because they were in agreement, and they had all things in common. That to show that measure of love, I'm not saying we have to go back to that. Beloved, God was illustrating a principle that they so loved one another that they preferred one another above themselves. They had servants' hearts. So, as I bring this message to a conclusion, what can we say? We need wisdom, we need understanding, we need discernment, and all will be increased operation as you grow in God. But what you do with this wisdom and knowledge God has given you can advance or undo you. I can remember years ago as a young person in Christ, I mean, being prophetic, I would see error. It's like, what they're doing is wrong. But Brother Glass warned me. He said, well, you could be right and wrong at the same time. In other words, you're right in discerning and analyzing a situation, but your attitude of heart could be wrong. Just as the sons of thunder, they said, Lord, should we call fire down upon the Samaritan village? And Jesus responded, you don't know what spirit you're of. So, in conclusion then, let me share some practical tips. If you do see someone in error, what should you do? You should pray about it privately. Don't run to others on the excuse, well, I just want you to be in prayer about this, because it's sometimes gossip can, that's the way gossip is clothed under a guise of humility and spirituality. Pray about it privately. And then look for a pattern of repeat offense. The Bible tells us that two or three witnesses are required. And also, beloved, the whole point of my sharing this is we're not to be hasty in judgment or action. God alone knows the heart of a man or woman. God alone knows the heart of a leader. He knows the things that they're contending with. We do not have understanding of the burdens that a pastor carries, or those who are in fivefold ministry, the level of spiritual warfare that is arrayed against them. Why? Because they're out in the forefront. They are charged by God with a holy calling and a powerful responsibility. Paul said all the things that he experienced, the shipwrecks, the scourgings, the whippings, the fastings, the cold, besides that, the burden of the churches which weighed upon him daily. Beloved, let us love and give honor to those who are in leadership. To your pastor, does that mean they're perfect? An honest pastor will say, they're far from it. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to blow it. But you know what? They're just a man or woman like we are. But what is extraordinary is the calling and the anointing and the election that God has put on their lives. That's what you must not touch. Amen. So we can't be hasty in judgment or action. Proverbs 14 and 29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And Proverbs 15 and 1, grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. And also, if you see error, pray if you are the one to bring the truth. Galatians 6 and 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are endowed with the Spirit must set him right again very gently, not with any feeling of superiority, but being yourselves on guard against temptation. He that thinks that he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. And what if it's a situation of an elder, someone who is an elder in years or in spiritual position? Well, 1 Timothy 5:1 has the answer. Don't reprimand a senior member of your church or one who has authority in the church, but address him a father and plead with him respectfully. Galatians 6 and 2 says, bear the burden of one another's failings. And remember, lastly, beloved, love is not easily offended. Love covers a multitude of sins. Beloved, this is our high calling, a calling to prefer one another and to see the body of Christ built up and edified. That's my heart in sharing this message. The law of the New Testament that we're under, the perfect law of liberty and love, that is the law which constrains us, beloved. Let's close in prayer. Father, you've seen all that I've shared, and Father, I pray that by the Holy Spirit you will seal this message to our hearts, that we will be in all aspects of our lives, we will be a body fitly joined together in perfect love, harmony, and unity by your Spirit. Father, we acknowledge that Jesus is the head of that church, of your church, and Father, we will walk in submission and obedience to you because that's your calling on our lives. Thank you for the beauty of your word, Lord. Thank you for who you are in our lives. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beloved, I pray you've been blessed by this message. As we get together next time, we'll see what the Lord has for us. I invite you to tune in next time at the same time. And until then, if you have prayer needs, write down that contact information, and I will pray and send back whatever God gives. I love you. Thank you for joining me. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.